BlogTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready? No. You don't understand. I want to know. Are you ready?
For the thousands in attendance and for the millions not watching around the world, none of this is on television right now.
Let's get ready to suck it!
War Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Come hell or high water, I am giving you Monday Night Raw. I am giving you a show tonight.
Featuring the likes of Sue Rockin.
Hi, Tom.
Lindsay Ward.
All of you men are simply intimidated. But most of all, men are intimidated by the fact that I have bigger balls than every man in this arena.
Interact with us live during the show and give us your takes on what your thoughts on Monday Night Raw.
I have received an email. The Raw General Manager says, and I quote,
now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Kane has got two words for you.
Yeah.
That's changed.
That's because everybody's forgotten about it.
Mm-hmm. Welcome everybody to the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented by MemlinPromo.com and PWBeanie.com. I'm Sorokin, joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
Hello!
And we have an interesting 3 hours to get into, don't you think?
Interesting is a good word.
We had Fandango and Summer Rae open up the show as they danced and danced and danced. Jericho came out with, what's her name?
Something Russian.
Etta Swenska?
I don't
you
know.
You tell me how to pronounce that.
I don't know how to pronounce that. Don't ask me. She's a former Dancing with the Stars person. That's the best I got.
As I'm trying to load up something here, give me a second.
I was going to say, you're awfully quiet. Do I need to stall and fill time so we don't have that accursed dead air?
That dead air thing? I was trying this. Watch. Let's try this.
Ibi Kashmirinska.
That's how you pronounce the name.
Got it.
So the Russian dancing lady from Dancing with the Stars and was Jericho's partner tonight. And they had an interesting encounter.
They did.
Fandango talked a bit. Jericho then talked about how this is, how he's won great victories on Raw, including the first ever musical chairs. One Price is Raw, so he was confident he would win tonight. But even better this Sunday, he will take on Fandango at Extreme Rules and told Fandango that he will create a new dance sensation that will sweep the nation called I just kicked your ass all over the ring.
No, it's I kicked your jackass all over the ring.
I kicked your jackass all over the ring. Fandango was not amused by this, however, and then he vowed to dance all over Fandango's face this Sunday, and he will never, ever be the same again. Then we got into the competition. They started to dance, but they stood there, and he tried to hush the crowd at Fandango. Cole asked, what's this goff trying to hush the crowd? So they got ready to go, and then Miss Summer Rae twisted her ankle, appeared.
Oh no!
So Fandango has an upset. He's mad. He runs to the, he walks out of the competition as Jericho and the Russian girl check on the samurai. Fandango comes back in the ring and lays out Chris Jericho with a big kick. Then at one point took a piece of the floor and nailed Jericho right in the face.
He did. And this part of it looked kind of sick. Especially that shot into the wall and then the smack with the floor. That looked awful. And awful, I mean, it looked like he really whacked him good a couple times.
No shit, right? I like the beatdown part of this segment. The dancing took a while to get to. But the angle was effective. Samurai magically popped up from her ankle injury, showing no effects, as they did a little dance and left the ring to close out this first segment.
The fact that this entire thing took the first 20 minutes of Raw...
22.
Fine. 22. Just because somebody has to be a stickler for details...
Continue your point.
Not gonna name any names.
No.
Gonna name any names. Anyway, the fact that this took 22 minutes was just a touch too long. I mean, I get that you have Fandango cut his promo, you have Jericho cut his promo, then you have the false start by Fandango, and then you have Summer twist her ankle, and they're checking on her, and then you finally get to the beat down. It's just like, you could have probably cut 10 minutes off of this, and it would have been fine. Because with all the introductions, and it felt like they were kind of stalling a little bit with it.
Yeah, it did. They were definitely stretching this one out just a little bit.
And I guess it's because, well, we paid Dancing with the Stars chick to show up, and she's not going to dance, so we're going to get our money's worth out of her.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
Because if she's a choreographer doing Broadway musicals, like Michael Cole said, because he was on Dancers Wikipedia or whatever it was,
some fancy website
that talks all about ballroom dancing, then they probably had to fly her in from New York to Tulsa, which was not cheap, and then on top of that, they're having her appear on Monday Night Raw, so they wanted to make sure to get her their money's worth out of her, excuse me, since she was obviously not their stance.
Yeah.
Which kind of made me upset, because it's like, I want to see her dance, because I liked her costume. I thought it was cool looking.
Yeah, apparently that's her thing. That's her look.
Well, it works for her. She looked good, but yeah. And also, this is just a side note. This isn't a shot at Summer Rae or anything, but you can tell the difference between a professional wrestler pretending to be a professional dancer and a professional dancer when they're right next to each other, sadly.
Mm-hmm.
Which is as you should, but it's just like, you know, the Russian chick, it's like, oh yeah, she's a professional dancer. You can tell. Sorry, I mean, I don't know what they can do for Summer Rae. I don't know how long this is going to last, but if they could, you know, Summer Rae's doing fine, but if they could work on a way to make her smoother and more graceful.
They're working on it. They're giving
her. They're working on it.
They're giving her lessons, and that's what happens.
Yeah, I mean, she's doing fine, I guess, but it's like, yeah, you just see when they had the professional dancers there with him, it's like, yeah.
There's a bit of a difference. I would agree. Our first contest of the evening, Ryback versus Zack Ryder, who was wearing long pants now.
He's trying to get away from his, you know, woo-woo-woo gimmick.
So he's going back to the Edge headlock. Got it.
All he's got to do is grow his hair out.
Well, he's already doing that. He's letting it grow, so... Or he's at least not spiking it. Anyway, Ryback won. By the way, did you know you could hear an interview with Alberto Del Rio during the match on the WWE app during this match?
You can!
You could have, yeah. They had an interview with Alberto Del Rio during this one-minute match, so... on the WWE app.
There's an app?
Yeah, there's an app. You might want to download it.
I will have to go do that, you know, once I get my phone out of the charger.
Second match of the evening, Tensai and Brodus Clay taking on the primetime players. Brodus Clay and Tensai dominate, but they lose when Darren Young uses the pick right to the throat or eyes or some sort of Brodus Clay for the roll-up for the victory.
It was a match.
Exactly. We were told we were going to have an important announcement concerning the World Heavyweight title with Teddy Long after the break, and that's what we had. Matt Striker on the ring, on the stage, as it were, with Teddy Long. Booker T is out of commission due to an infected elbow and had surgery. So best of luck to Booker T on recovering. That's not any good.
That's definitely not good. I wonder how he got that.
Probably training people. Anyway, Teddy Long was about to make an announcement that he talked to Vicky Guerrero and Gaethje, gave him permission. Well, I thought he's working for Booker, but... Anyway, Jack Swagger and Zeb Coulter came out, and they're demanding that they get the world title, and then Big E, Langston, and AJ said the title's not going anywhere. AJ complained that Swagger concussing... They complained about Swagger concussing Ziggler. They argued she wanted him fired. So, we're suspended. Long calmed everyone down and said, tonight, Ziggler will not be stripped, as it will be now Del Rio and Swagger in the Morgan Tatters match. Extreme Rules in an I Quit match, which the crowd reacted greatly for.
Yeah, that should be interesting to see.
And then Long booked the match between Del Rio, or Big E versus either Del Rio or Swagger, and the WWE Universe would get to choose in the WWE poll.
Ooh.
Only available on this WWE app. Whatever that is.
Again, they have an app? I had no idea.
I know. We have up next Kofi Kingston versus Damian Sandow, and Sandow disappointing the world by saying he will not sing.
This made me so sad.
Me too. Kofi won with Trouble in Paradise. For the time they got, it was fine.
You missed the major announcement.
I was getting to that.
Okay, and then after you get done with that, I have a little rant.
Okay. He gives Kofi momentum heading into Extreme Rules. Will he be defending the United States Championship against Dean Ambrose?
Dean!
Now go.
This is from the previous segment with Teddy Long. Teddy, honey, do not wear a suit that blends you into the LED screen in the background. Red on red, you blended right into the stage. Don't do that.
The Craig Segler special.
Wear your blue suit. I know you have one, player. I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
The suit was fine. It's just you blended into the stage. Wear the blue one or another color other than red.
So, yes, Dean Ambrose gets his first title shot at Extreme Rules.
I have something I want to get into later with the Shield, but we'll wait till we get to the Shield's actual match.
Okay. Josh Matthews is in the ring with Mark Henry to get his thoughts about the strap match. They showed a couple of video packages. Matthews asked Henry about how that power will propel him to victory at the pay-per-view on Sunday. Henry said he could do better than that. And then told Matthews to put the strap on. Yes, he said it. Put the strap on.
You dirty, dirty, dirty people, you.
The Twitters went crazy with that. Just saying.
The Facebooks went crazy with that.
I wasn't.
Everybody went crazy with that.
Matthews put on the strap on, and then Henry shoved them down, dragged them around the ring, touching each corner, saying, this is what you gotta do to win. You have to touch all four corners. in succession to win the match. Henry said he was feeling generous, so why wait till Extreme Rules? He called out Sheamus. There was no sign of Sheamus. Henry trash-talked a little bit more. Sheamus finally came out and insulted Henry's intelligence, so Henry told Sheamus to come on down to the ring if he's feeling him tonight. Sheamus said Henry is awful tough standing in the ring with strap. Henry laughed at himself and started calling Sheamus a coward.
Not cool, fella. Not cool.
Sheamus said Henry talked him into a fight, and he marched down the ring. Sheamus told Henry to back his arse up so he can get in the ring. Then Sheamus said he remembers leaving a present on the ring. He grabbed his own strap on, and they went at it, slapping the crap out of each other.
With their strap-ons.
Anyway. Henry... Henry bailed after a few shots from the strap. And Sheamus celebrated to close out that segment.
They were going at it with those straps.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of actually starting to look forward to this match just because they're going to beat the you-know-what out of each other.
They're beating the hell out of each other tonight. I can't wait for Sunday because that's going to be... Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
That's going to be a fight. And that's what I want to see.
We have Antonio Cesaro taking on Randy Orton in a rematch from WWE Main Event. While all this was going on, there was an interview with Big Show on the WWE app thingy. Cesaro lost to Randy Orton via the RKO. That renewed push went 2 days.
Give it time.
Yeah. So, Orton wins. Nothing much you could say about it. It was fine for the time they got.
It was a match.
Speaking of a match, The Miz is back.
Go Miz!
He took on Heath Slater and won via the figure four.
I mean, are we supposed to cheer if you beat Heath Slater? Isn't that sort of a
given? It's a commonplace thing, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, go Miz!
Miz is back. If you haven't heard our interview with The Miz, go to RackRadioShow.com. We got Justin Roberts in the ring, and it's time for the six-man tag team match. John Cena and Team Hell No, Daniel Bryan and Kane, taking on The Shield in six-man tag team elimination match, and holy hell, this was a great match.
This was a fantastic match.
They got, 25 minutes or so for this one. Kane that got DQ'd. It's a weird DQ. Whatever. Then Ambrose eliminated Bryan, which those two went back and forth, and when he bent that arm, oh my god.
That was a sick submission. I was sitting here going, ow!
He just bent his arm and it was, oh.
Yeah, that looked vicious. I mean, why do I have this feeling? Because they've gone back and forth now a couple times. They've been going on the house shows. It's just Daniel Bryan's looking at Dean Ambrose going, hello, my old friend.
Mm-hmm.
Let me break you.
So Bryan was eliminated. Rollins then got eliminated by John Cena, so he was pinned for the first time tonight by John Cena. Reigns came in, got disqualified because he pushed the referee. Then we were down to Ambrose and Cena. Before Ambrose could tap out, the rest of the Shield came in and causing disqualification. The finish then was the Shield giving John Cena the triple powerbomb. Ryback came out, looked down at Cena, he stopped, left the ring, came back, grabbed a chair, and then nailed Cena in his bad ankle with the chair. And that closed that.
This was a great segment.
Fantastic segment. It got everything across. The Shield lost by DQ, but no one will remember that in a week.
That's how the Shields, in match situations, they either win or they lose by DQ. The important thing is that they have not been all three pinned. Dean Ambrose has now been pinned. Seth Rollins has now been technically pinned, even though it was an elimination match. And I don't think Reigns has yet to be pinned. So the Shield, individually, two of them really have pins, although Rollins is kind of an asterisk at this stage, and then Reigns is the only one that hasn't been beaten one-on-one. But they still looked incredibly strong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's what you want.
And by the way, is it just me, but I know, because did they announce the tag match tonight?
They did. It's basically Texas Tornado Rules. Rollins and Reigns versus the Hell No for the titles.
So is it wrong that if Ambrose and Rollins and Reigns all win titles, that I want them to look at them, throw them down, and walk away? And basically say, your titles don't matter, they're worthless. They're not what we're after.
That'd be cool. Won't happen, but that'd be cool.
Like, I don't know why, but I want to see them, like, walking out of the arena, and they take the U.S. belt and the tag titles, and they just throw them in the trash. And they walk out. Like, that's what I want to see, because that would be really kind of awesome, because the Shield having gold, or in this case, gold and copper, just seems kind of foreign, like they shouldn't have it.
Right.
Because that's not what they're about. That's not what they booked them for. So it's like, I don't know why, but I can see that, where they're like, we reject, you know, your idea of the best, you know, needing a belt, or we reject your idea of, you know, championship titles.
And if you want, if Ambrose actually gets a belt, especially the U.S. title, that's the worst thing for you, because that U.S. belt means nothing. It means you usually lose.
Yeah, so I don't know why. Yeah, it's just, I don't know why, but that's when they announced Ambrose's match, and then, you know, we've known the Shield versus Hell No match has been coming for a while now. It's like, I just saw this concept of them either throwing the belt down and walking away, or, you know, throwing the belts in the trash, or something to that effect of, you know, yes, they're technically the title holders.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't carry the titles with them. They're not about the titles. It doesn't matter
right. That
they have the titles, because they're more powerful without the titles than they are with them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the titles just don't do anything for them. Which is kind of cool if you think about it.
It is kind of cool. I like the scenario. It won't happen, but I like it.
Yeah, it won't happen. It totally won't happen, but it would be really, really cool if it would. And WWE, if you're listening, hint, hint, wink, wink, it would be really cool if you had them just, like, throw them in the trash or something. It'd be amazing.
Up next, we have Ryback backstage marching around. Matt Stryker asks Ryback about his extreme actions against John Cena. Ryback said simply, that's not extreme compared to what he does to Cena this Sunday, because it will be Ryback rules. Up next, Big E Langston takes on the winner of the WWE app poll. With 65% of the vote, Jack Swagger wins the vote.
Shenanigans!
Shenanigans. This was an okay match. They gave them time. I think they gave them a little too much time. As Big E shouldn't be fighting a guy like Swagger just yet, because it shows that he's big, but not as big. If that makes any sense.
I don't know. They had some nice spots. I mean, especially the end of the match where you saw Big E Langston, you know, make the dive over the wall, and Swagger ducks and he lands on the outside. That was a nice spot. It was because they replayed Ziggler's injury, and they showed the two spots supposedly where the concussion was received, with the ladder on Monday Night Raw and then the kick to the face, which we originally, when we watched SmackDown, thought was pretty harmless. And then when they actually went back and they slowed it down,
and
you
they showed
see actually...
It. Yeah, they actually slowed it down and showed us the kick. Ooh.
Yeah, they showed you the actual kick. Yeah. Yeah. That was not a nice shot at all. That was bad.
Mm-hmm.
And Swagger just caught him right in the face.
By the way, if you were following Heels Ziggler on Twitter tonight, oh my god, he was awesome.
He was hilarious. Ziggler needs to live tweet every Raw because it's funny as crap.
So don't be surprised to hear some of them Thursday on the Rack during Tweet of the Week.
Yeah, Ziggler may be featured, but I think in a way it was a good thing to put Langston against Swagger just because the two could have a much more physical match and they could really just throw each other around.
And they did.
And that's kind of what they did.
They did that. Something seemed off to me.
They don't have the chemistry.
That's probably it. Swagger won via countout. Post-match, Alberto Del Rio hit the ring, attacked Swagger, but Swagger fought him off. Del Rio used Ricardo as a distraction, put the cross arm breaker on Swagger, but Big E entered the ring, blasted Del Rio. Del Rio fought back, cleared Swagger and Langston from the ring, and Del Rio stood tall as he is looking to become the number one contender this Sunday against Jack Swagger at Extreme Rules.
Yeah, it was okay.
They're trying to make something work because of all the situation.
I mean, honestly, I really just kind of wanted to see Big E Langston walk out there and beat the snot out of Swagger for what happened to Ziggler.
I agree.
Because that's what you were sort of expecting, was somebody to get a receipt mm-hmm. on Swagger for what had happened.
And it might come Sunday.
And it might very well come Sunday, and they may embarrass Swagger Sunday. I mean, you're at this stage, you're kind of waiting for it, because now that they've isolated it down, and they can sort of prove that the concussion came from Swagger, because we originally actually were thinking it could have been Del Rio, because Del Rio got some nice shots in on Swagger as well.
Right.
And I'm sure what Del Rio was doing after the fact wasn't helping, but the fact that it looks like Swagger is in fact the cause, it's like you're just now waiting for something to happen to Swagger.
Mm-hmm. And maybe that's why they changed to an I Quit match, making him scream I Quit on Sunday.
Potentially, I don't know.
Also coming this Sunday, it's been announced on the pre-show, The Miz takes on Cody Rhodes.
Poor Cody and Miz, they just serve better.
And then we have AJ Lee versus Natalya with, the commentary. Should have been on the app. So no one heard it. The Bellas and Caitlin were on the thing, on the commentary. They all tried talking at once. It's horrible. Apparently, Caitlin got a gift from her secret admirer with Simpson trivia cards or something, I guess. Though the match in the ring was fine, I liked the new submission, the Black Widow submission that AJ put on Natalya.
Oh, that thing looks awesome.
That's a nice submission. You also had Kali and Hornswoggle standing up there for some reason, but they were there. Commentary was a train wreck. Match is alright. AJ wins.
I can almost see that one of those people at ringside is the secret admirer, whether it's Kali, Hornswoggle, Natalya, AJ, or one or both of the Bellas. I can see it being one of those people.
If it's going to be if it's Hornswoggle. Remember what happened with the Royal General Manager, the anonymous GM? It was Hornswoggle. Let's not have that happen, please. Thank you. Just saying.
Yeah, but they wouldn't have them involved, any of them involved in this, because you could just do a straight up AJ Caitlin feud. But they've got them involved for a reason, which means one of them, if not more than one, could potentially be the secret admirer.
Right. I agree.
Which is just kind of a fail.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just to throw us off then. Never know.
Could be.
We had Chris Jericho talking about Striker. Chris Jericho was angry. Striker asked Jericho if he felt foolish out there earlier. Jericho paused and said it was his fault. He said he's been trying to play other people's game, other people's rules, but that's no more. Jericho said fun and games are over. He is a 6-time world champion and who has done it all and has beaten them all. He said his name is Chris Jericho, and on Sunday at Extreme Rules, if Fandango wants to dance, he is going to show him how to dance Chris Jericho style. He said, see you Sunday.
This is a really nice promo.
It was. I liked it. And then it's main event time. We have Triple H in the ring about to talk to Brock Lesnar. But we went to commercial break at that point. When we came back, Triple H is in the ring. He said, Hunter Growler said nothing has been settled between them, that is until Sunday when it all gets settled. Hunter said it. This ring is where he learned to be a man, but a man he respected early in his career told him that to get good at this, you have to learn how to hate. He said he learned how to hate and thrive on hate, and nowhere did he excel more than when he was in this ring surrounded by steel. Hunter then, hyped the steel cage and said he was trying to say that Brock Lesnar is here, he's here, the crowd is here, and more importantly, the steel is here. He said he's at home, then invited Lesnar to come take it. Brock Lesnar then came out. He was looking for a fight. Paul Heyman was going to talk. Hunter told him to shut up. Hunter said everyone knows who he is, then told Lesnar to get in the ring. Heyman laughed and said Hunter knows who they are, but he doesn't think Hunter knows what they are about. Heyman said they are about perverse pleasures in life, such as Hunter using the word hate. Heyman asked Hunter, isn't that word hate unacceptable in WWE, a global company? Heyman continued to call out Hunter before noting that since they used the word hate, he will announce that both Hunter and Lesnar hate each other. Heyman said Hunter will hate facing his family after losing, and then hate facing his father-in-law after letting everyone down on Sunday. He will also hate the result on Sunday when Hunter goes down in history as the loser. I cannot imagine how much you're going to hate that, Heyman said. Heyman exactly said his client Brock Lesnar is excited for a fight tonight, but this fight is on Sunday. He said his client does not fight for free. And then Brock Lesnar's music played. Hunter told him to cut down the music. Hunter said it just dawned on him why Lesnar won't face him like a man. He said the Destroyer won't stand face to face with him because Heyman can't afford Lesnar to do that. Hunter said he did the unthinkable at WrestleMania when he knocked Lesnar out, and then he beat Brock Lesnar. Hunter continued that if Lesnar walks down the ramp right now and steps in the cage, maybe, just maybe, he kicks his ass one more time. That doesn't bode too well for Heyman as a businessman, and even worse, if Lesnar steps in this cage and gets beat again on Sunday, the sound they hear will not just be the roar of the crowd, but Brock Lesnar's mystique flying out the window, along with Heyman's meal ticket. Hunter said he can look at Brock and tell Brock still believes inside that he is the baddest man, but the problem is, Heyman doesn't think that's true anymore. That's why at this moment, he's no longer talking to Paul Heyman, he's talking to Brock Lesnar. Hunter asked Brock Lesnar if he's going to walk down the aisle and try to prove that he's Brock Lesnar, or if he's going to let Heyman tell him what to do and prove that he is Brock Lesnar, the bitch. And that got Brock Lesnar pissed off. He came to the ring.
That's a great line.
He stormed to the ring. He came ready, slowly gets in the cage. And then the fight was on, Lindsay.
And I don't know what it was. I'm not sure if it was a suplex. I'm not sure what the hell it was. Whatever it was, when that first move that Lesnar threw, holy crap, that looks sick. Like, yeah, I'm just going to throw Triple H on his head. Here you go.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They brawled around the cage for a bit. Hunter made a comeback, threw Brock Lesnar into the cage door right into Heyman. He fell. They showed Brock Lesnar contemplating getting back into the cage, but he picked up Paul Heyman, and they left. And that's how Monday Night Raw ended.
Great, great, great go-home for... this match for Sunday. That just got me super hyped up for it. I was like, oh, wow, look at this. Alrighty then.
That was exciting.
I can't wait to see what they do Sunday, because hopefully now they have that really physical match that we've kind of been waiting for, because we didn't really get it at Mania.
Mm-hmm. We're going to get it now, Sunday.
Yeah, now hopefully we're going to get it, because they're both healthy, they're both good to go, so hopefully we get some really physical matches for Sunday.
That was good. I enjoyed the fight at the end. That's what you needed. That was the hard sell for the pay-per-view.
Yeah. It's like, okay, well, if nothing else, there's at least two matches I want to see, so we're good.
Mm-hmm. That's what you want. You want to have a reason to have these two men fight, and now you do. That's the main event Sunday. It won't close the pay-per-view, but that's the main event.
Right. And that'll make the pay-per-view worth it, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
At least I hope it will.
I'm hoping so, too. So that's Monday Night Raw in a nutshell, Lindsay. 3 hours went by that quickly.
It did, and by the way, is it just kind of shocking that Lesnar and Hunter has been a year-long feud?
I thought the same thing when they showed April 30th was the date. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was like, holy crap, they're right, it's a year-long feud, oh my gosh.
So there you have it. Any comments you want to make before we wrap up about the show?
Go Shield, go.
That's it.
Okay.
So this is where we wrap up this post-show right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Tomorrow night, Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik. It will be Michael Elgin on the program, so check it out, 9 p.m. Eastern. Wednesday night, Cheap Heat Radio with Scott Barry and Matthew Forsina, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Thursday night, Lindsay, it's Laura.
That's right. Tune in for our preview of Extreme Rules. We're going to be talking all about Impact, and we've got news and notes for the week, as well as discussions, so everybody tune in and listen. Also, check out rockradioshow.com for all our great interviews and past shows.
Mace may be playing video games at 9 p.m. Eastern this Friday. Who knows? Stay tuned to Facebook. Saturday night, midnight, is CB Radio with myself, Rob Parks, and Subway. We talk about the weird, the wacky, and the unusual. Sunday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, it's Wrestle Talk Radio with Tim Stein and May. Mace and Omega, probably me and Lindsay, because it's a pay-per-view show. We're all there and we talk about the pay-per-view. So if you want our Extreme Rules recap, tune in for that. If you want to join our Extreme Rules Pick'em Challenge, just email media@wildtalkradio.com with your predictions for this Sunday as Extreme Rules pay-per-view, and then you can win something. We'll be back next Monday night for another edition of Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Follow us on Twitter @WildTalkRadio, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Lindsay.
You can follow me on Twitter @LinsWard, LinsWRD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check that out. You can also go to CassidyRiley.net, and, of course, visit all the other fine programming on this network, including The Rack, 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
On Thursdays. Yes, visit PWMania.com, MemblingPromo.com. There are our proud sponsors. We'll see you next Monday night right here along the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network for another edition of the Raw Post Show right here, WildTalkRadio.com.
Who's gonna make it? I am the game.
You don't wanna play me.
I am control.
There's no way you can shake me.
I am your daddy, and no, you can't pay me.
I am your pain,
and I know you can't take me.
Play the game, you're gonna be the same. You're gonna change your name, you're gonna die in flames.